You got the feeling of love? That's because the government's reopened, the debt ceiling's been raised, and you don't have to watch the farce that Republicans have given you to watch for the past 16 days. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall here on the West Coast in California. And on the East Coast, my buddy, my co-host, Mr. Mark Levine. Mark, good evening and welcome back.
Washington, D.C., which is now working again.
Yes, absolutely. My co-host, Mark Levine, everybody, every hour two and three tonight as well, on Thursdays here on the Only True Democracy and Talk Radio. This is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. Tonight in this hour, Mark and I are going to discuss in the next 2 hours a lot of different stuff coming outside of Washington, things that have gone on inside the Beltway that certainly affect all of us on the outside. And we encourage you to join us. 888-653-7543 is the number to call us. Follow us on Twitter, Mark at Mark Levine Talk, me at Leslie Marshall. Tweet us. We will share your tweets during the program as we will take your calls. You can also go to facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow. Send an FB message there. Mark, your Facebook page is?
MarkLevineTalk.com. Well, my Facebook page is facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk.
facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. And for emails, LeslieMarshallShow.com. Click the contact page. Send an email through there. And Mark, emails to you.
Mark at MarkLevineTalk.com. The tweet at MarkLevineTalk. Website MarkLevineTalk.com. You're getting the theme.
Absolutely. Mark Levine Talk? Does Mark Levine talk? And I hate when people refer to you on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, as Mark Levin. They'll even say that to me. I wanted to say on the air, seriously, that when I was in New York last week on a Hannity panel, a talk show host, I forgot his name, young man, African-American liberal, very, very... he knew his stuff. I liked what he had to say. He said, do you know Mark Levine? He came out to me in the Hannity studio before we went on there. And I said, oh, yes, Mark's a good friend of mine. And I said, you know, we co-host my show every second hour Thursday together. And he goes, yeah, I know. And he goes, I'm a friend of his, too. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Mark Levin.
No, because this guy was a liberal.
Oh, okay. Well, then he did know me. Okay, that's good.
So no, he didn't know you. African American young guy hosts his own talk show.
Well, there's lots of them that I know. Could be Mark Thompson. Could be.
He was on last night. He was on the Kelly File last night. He was on Hannity with me on the panel. Sorry, there were 16 people on the panel. I couldn't remember everybody's name. I'm sometimes bad with names, great with faces. Anyway, because this is radio, let's get not to faces, but talk about some names. One of which is my co-host tonight, Mark Levine, and every Thursday, hour two and hour three tonight as well. Former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Not that he needs an introduction for those of you that are regulars to the show, but some of you might have seen me on TV the past few days. I think I was on television 7 times in 6 days, and so nobody could say I'm not working hard for my money, right? And I know that, you know, some of you are new to listening to the program because you've been following us on Twitter, or you catch us on TuneIn or the Progressive Voices Network, or on the radio, or the American Armed Forces Radio Network, or you watched on TV and you're tuning in now. Good to have you. Mark Levine hosts his own Washington, D.C.-based radio talk show and television talk show. The Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus can also be heard on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. He frequently appears on TV, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Biz, and CNBC. He is tangled with Bill O'Reilly on the right, and certainly his Pacifica co-host on the left, and he and I have maybe tangoed, but not tangled too much politically.
We tangle a little bit. Every now and then we disagree. It happens.
Yeah, every now and then. I think we have once, like here in the past couple of months, and I think we disagreed on O'Reilly one time.
We did, actually. I remember that.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about, if we have to know, let's talk about Ted Cruz, a man that many people didn't know a few months ago. His, you know, it's terrible. I know I'm going to sound so petty. His smile bothers me because it's so, like, smirky. You know what I mean? It's so like, eat caca and die kind of look. You know. Anyway, Alan Dershowitz said this is a brilliant man. He was a student at Harvard Law. And that this guy, you know, trampled all over the Constitution. We'll get to that because you certainly know the Constitution much better than I. And, you know, although I love it and know it, I definitely, you got to give props where props are due. But every picture we see, even since this overwhelming defeat that cost our government, our nation, our reputation, that cost money, that took time from the taxpayers and probably cost some Republicans their seats, this guy is smiling Why is Ted Cruz still smiling, Mark? Are these people delusional? Is Ted
Cruz
delusional?
No, Ted Cruz has a lot to smile about. Listen, Ted Cruz has been in the Senate 9 months. Leslie, how many people can most Americans name who've been in the Senate 9 years, much less 9 months? Someone in the Senate 9 months is generally not known to anybody. Certain, even 9 years, how many people can name a senator from outside their states? How many people can name the senator of their states? Ted Cruz has made himself into a national figure. He's raised millions of dollars. He's going to run for president. He's going to lose, and he's going to make a lot of money giving speeches. Ted Cruz has made himself millions for life. He can be very happy. Sure, he destroyed the country in the process, but Ted Cruz did well by Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz did well by Ted Cruz, but is Ted Cruz may be the Koch brothers and the Tea Party may love him, and the Koch brothers may have more money than God, but at the same time, the Tea Party numbers have dwindled. The support for the Tea Party has dwindled. So these Tea Party politicians that are being put forth in certain districts like Kentucky to try and, you know, get Mitch McConnell gone, you know, some of these people that, you know, felt they should have continued to stand behind Ted Cruz and, you know, just not let this defund and repeal and replace Obamacare go. Do these people have a shot? I mean, Obamacare in October, the approval rating for Obamacare increased 8%, according to an NBC Wall Street Journal poll. That came out yesterday, the day before yesterday. And the Tea Party numbers, they've been dwindling. I mean, they had a high, they peaked, they got, you know, a couple of people into office, and then they petered out. Are they still petering out? Is Ted Cruz their only guy? Or has Ted Cruz brought new life back into the Tea Party, not just his own political coffers?
No. Ted Cruz is helping Ted Cruz. I mean, you said Alan Dershowitz said he was a smart guy. He's a smart guy. He's sly like a fox. What he did is in detonating a bomb, in harming the country, in costing tens of billions of dollars to the economy, in costing, you know, 800,000 people to lose work for a while and really harming our economy, what he did was, yeah, he harmed the Tea Party. Yeah, he harmed the Republican Party. But you know who he helped? Ted Cruz. So for Ted Cruz, like I said, he did okay by him, even as he destroyed everyone around him.
Is there any possible way that this guy could get the party nomination?
No, but as a Democrat, I wish he would, but no. Republicans are stupid, but they're not that stupid. They're just not. I wish they were. If he got Ted Cruz, we might win, you know, a 50-state victory if Ted Cruz were to run, but he won't. He will run, but he won't get the nomination.
Is the Tea Party ruining the GOP?
And yes!
Should we, the Democrats, be happy about that? Or sad because it does ruin part of our political process, which is a part, in a sense, of our infrastructure and the interwoven fabric of our nation and our history.
You know, I'm okay with the Tea Party taking down the Republican Party. The Republican Party has been moving toward the Tea Party for really since Newt Gingrich. You've got to remember, the debt ceiling is a creation of Newt Gingrich. It had gone out of the in the 1970s. Dick Gephardt ended the debt ceiling. It didn't exist till 1917, and it went away in the 70s. And then 20 years later, Newt Gingrich brought it back, got rid of the Gephardt rule, and used it to pummel Bill Clinton and lost in the last great Republican shutdown. So the Tea Party was going more and more and more radical. They did get something out of Obama in 2011. You may remember I was very upset about that. I thought that Obama went too far in giving in. And thank God Obama stood firm, because a lot of us Democrats were afraid he wouldn't this time. But he did stand firm, and he showed that, yes, when a bully takes you on, the best thing to do is just stand firm and say, sorry, I'm not going to budge. And this was a big victory. As far as the Republican Party, they are falling apart. They are at each other's throats. You know, I can't say I'm happy to see any Americans at each other's throats, but to the extent that they're destroying themselves, it does help the country, because I don't know that they're going to ever try this again, and they shouldn't, and if they do, it'll help Democrats even more.
Well, when we look at some of the things that have been said, former President Bill Clinton, former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, have both said that Obama could have stopped the government from shutting down. Do you agree with that? And obviously, many of us, myself included, and I would imagine you, were glad that he stood his ground on this, because you just can't threaten, if you don't like legislation, to shut the government down and not increase the debt ceiling every time this happens, right or left.
Well, when you say he didn't have to shut the government down, I want to distinguish between two things. There's the government shutdown, and there's a default on the debt. I happen to believe that the president does have power, constitutionally, under Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, to say that the United States will always pay its debts, because that section says the validity of the public debt authorized by law shall not be questioned. And I've long argued that President Obama needed to invoke that clause if we got really desperate. In fact, I wrote an article about it that people can read. It's kind of a fun article. It describes what would happen if we actually defaulted. But the government shutdown itself, no, I don't know that he could constitutionally prevent that. If Congress doesn't pass a law to fund the government, then the government shuts down. It was actually, it's interesting, prior to Jimmy Carter's attorney general, Benjamin Civiletti, there were lots of, quote, government shutdowns, unquote, but they really weren't shutdowns, because what would happen is Congress wouldn't agree on a budget, and the government would keep on functioning, because they knew that Congress would pass it someday, and then they would go back. And that's why when you hear the Republicans say, oh, the government shut down 17 times, it really didn't. It didn't shut down at all. Congress was just a day or two late with a budget, and the 70s. But then the Attorney General under Jimmy Carter said, and I think he was right about it, if Congress doesn't pass a law funding the government, then the government has to shut down at least its non-essential programs. That's where the whole essential language came from, this Attorney General memo in the 1970s. And I actually think he's right as a matter of law. I don't like it, but I think that the president can't continue functioning with the government without spending, at least with the non-essential parts. So we really haven't had that many government shutdowns. The last one, serious one we had, of course, was the 1995 Gingrich shutdown.
We have so many people tweeting, and of course people will be calling in shortly at 888-653-7543. Let's get to some of them as Lawrence tweets. When I ask why are Ted Cruz and his Tea Party brethren still proud of what havoc they've wreaked, Lawrence says, how proud would they be if the American people could actually collect the $24 billion the GOP cost America? And speaking of that, why, Mark, some people don't understand, and if you could explain first, why did those politicians in the House and the Senate get their paychecks when they are government employees? They're paid by the federal government, and the federal government was shut down, and federal workers were furloughed and not paid. Why not them?
Well, the answer goes back to that memo in the 70s. They were deemed essential. Now, you could argue that Congress is really not essential.
Not with the poll numbers now.
But given that they were needed to reopen the government, I guess it's fair to call them essential. But yes, that's why they got their paycheck, although a lot of their staff did not, and a lot of their staff were furloughed except for their, quote, essential, unquote, staff, which is really an amorphous term, and it's basically up to the managers and government to decide who's essential and who's not essential. Remember, this isn't the law. This was an attorney general opinion from the 1970s, basically trying to, I mean, you could actually make a stronger argument. You could say if Congress doesn't pass a law, everything has to stop. You know, no military, no, but even though you could make that literal argument, you know, no one has made that argument thus far.
We're going to take a break, and you know what kills me? The party that hates the federal government was the first to complain when certain things like the Panda Cam and certain monuments or parks weren't opened. It's sort of like you don't want the federal government. You think there's too much government. Go ahead, shut it down. You shut it down, and now you're complaining that it's shut down. It's like, I don't get it. Anyway, we'll be back with my co-host and partner in crime every Thursday, hour two, here on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show, Mark Levine. He is joining us. We want you to as well. A few ways to do it. Call us at 888-653-7543. That's 888-653-7543. Tweet us. Follow me on Twitter at Leslie Marshall. Tweet me there. Tweet Mark at Mark Levine Talk. That's at Mark Levine Talk. I must say Talk. And then we will share your tweets. Facebook.com/Mark Levine Talk. Facebook.com/Leslie Marshall Show. And on Twitter, I already said, emails MarkLevineTalk.com, LeslieMarshallShow.com. We've got themes going both. We're both on the left, but we're on separate coast, and regardless of where you are and what you believe, whether you're on the left or not, we'd love to hear from you. 888-653-7543. We're asking you, why is Ted Cruz smiling? We're going to talk about winners and losers from the shutdown. I hope you'll join us. And we're back. I'm Leslie Marshall. My co-host is Mark Levine. Join us. 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543 is the number. As promised, let's check out some of those tweets. Gary tweets when I asked, who do you think came out a winner over this past 16 days? Who do you think came out the loser? Gary tweets, America. We, the American people, were the losers. $17 trillion in debt and growing, and a healthcare nightmare just for starters. Mark, the healthcare is not the nightmare. The website might be a nightmare, but just because
for now, I fully expect in a couple months it'll be fine. Actually, I was able to get in last week for the first time and take a look at some different plans for myself, and I haven't picked one yet, but I'm going to.
And like any plan, I mean, there are people that love Medicare, people that hate it. I mean, you're not going to please all of the
people that hate Medicare. Actually, a recent poll shows that of people that are on Medicare, 94% like it, and of the 6%. Some had no opinion. So, yeah, there may be a few people that hate Medicare, but not the people who use Medicare today, almost none of them. So, but go ahead.
Let's see. Well, we'll get to the tweets, and then we'll talk about some winners and losers. Robin tweets when we ask her about the winners and losers, who wins with a $24 billion GOP shutdown? And she said the GOP and the right-wing think tanks got nothing of what they wanted, and they're still a toxic threat. Are they? Because I do think that this is an obsession that they will not let go of, trying to do anything they can, while Obama's in office especially, for the next few years, continue to try to defund, derail, repeal, replace, whatever, any aspect of Obamacare. Now they're even going after Kathleen Sebelius' job.
I'll tell you, in 1936, the Republicans did a full court press against Social Security, and not many people remember Alf Landon because he won two of the then 48 states of the United States at that time, a total of 7 electoral votes. Franklin Roosevelt won 531. They continued to try to fight Social Security, but then World War II came, and people found out after about 7 or 8 years, yeah, they really liked it. Same is true with Medicare. You're right, Leslie, that when it first came out, many people hated Medicare. I'll tell you who really hated Medicare, Ronald Reagan. Remember him? Patriot State of Conservatives said in the 1960s that Medicare was close to communism, actually, and he very much opposed it. But you know what? By the time he was president, I didn't hear Ronald Reagan talk about ending Medicare because the people liked it. And one last person, Ted Cruz, has said that once Obamacare goes into effect, people are going to like it. That's why he has to stop it now.
And Ted Cruz said that.
He said that on an interview with Hannity that I've actually played on your show many, many times. I'm sure Mark can find the clip or I'll send it to him.
It's funny because I think I was sitting in the chair waiting to go on Hannity, and I think you might have been sitting in for me that night, and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee were on. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if Mike Lee was on. I know Ted Cruz said it. Tell you what, I'll send to Mark the clip. You can play it. What he said is Americans would get addicted to it like sugar.
He thinks anything that, you know, the government gives is a handout and an entitlement. So that's not a big surprise. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more tweets. Call us 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. We co-host the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show every Thursday, hour 2 and 3 tonight. So we'd love for you to join us. And we're back. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. We co-host the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show every hour 2, every Thursday, and hour 3 tonight as well. Mark, thanks for holding, and welcome back.
Let's
get back to some of those tweets. And let me see here. Why are Ted Cruz and his Tea Party brethren still proud of what havoc they wreaked? Viola said they should be. They stood on principle and the rest of them didn't. Senator Ted Cruz will be just fine. We do have to give them credit for as delusional as many of us on the left feel they are. They did stand steadfast for a time.
Not really.
I mean, they were 16 days.
Yeah, but they were already compromising from the beginning. I mean, they said defund it all, then they said delay it, then they said just get rid of a specific tax, and soon they were basically begging for, you know, scraps from the table. All of America saw that basically they had no power to do what they did, and they were just bluffing, and they even kind of admitted they were bluffing. So that's really, I don't think they were that successful, but I do think that they will be able to go home, some of them, to their rock red Republican districts and say, yes, I stood firm, and get some votes out of it. But nationally, I don't think they succeeded.
I want to know why so many Republicans voted no last night when there are not that many Tea Party Republicans in the House, actually.
Well, because, you got to remember where they're running. The reason why it's interesting, 60% of the Republican senators voted for the Democratic bill to reopen the government, and only 37% of House Republicans did. And the reason is that the Senate represents states, and you can't gerrymander a state. Those boundaries have been determined for 100 years or so now, 200 years, depending on the state. But you can gerrymander the districts. So even in the rock red states, only 40% of the Republicans voted, against it. That was the 18 votes in the Senate. But the House has been so gerrymandered, even in blue states like Michigan or Pennsylvania or Ohio or Florida, these are states with vast majority Republican members of Congress because they draw the lines purposely to make them red districts. So they saw no harm. The government was going to be reopened. They knew it would be. They knew the Democrats and responsible Republicans would all vote together, so they get a free vote, and that will help avoid a primary challenge from the Tea Party, who, frankly, are the people they're most worried about.
Gary tweets, "What havoc? I didn't notice a bit. Just proves that we need smaller government." Don't you think that in all of this, the Republican complaining actually highlighted and helped, in a sense, the role of federal government and how much the American people do rely on the federal government, even without, quote, handouts?
Well, they were complaining most of all. I mean, the irony is that as soon as the federal government closed, people started complaining. You know, the national parks, people brought up, but of course, far more important things like the NIH, National Institute of Health, things like veterans benefits. Basically, as people started complaining, then the Republicans tried that wonderful piecemeal approach. The media reported this. Let's get that in. Oh, the media reported that. Let's get that in. Of course, they weren't going to do things like fund women and infants with children, because poor children starving doesn't really make the nightly news as much as, the World War II Memorial. So, yeah, people do need the government, and when you shut it down, 70% of Americans, 75% of Americans are pretty angry.
Almost, most definitely. Ken had a few things to say. Ken said it took both parties to bring us to where we are. Seems Dems were okay with $3 billion for Hoover Dam in this bill. And I know you responded to that, so I did want you to talk about that. And Ken also addresses your response, Mark, is that by your reasoning, which is you said that you're fine with the dam as long as the other 49 states also get the infrastructure needs funded. He said, right, by your reasoning, you don't agree with Congress since other states didn't get the same funding. But my understanding is that McConnell got a hell of a lot of money for Kentucky.
Well, he got $3 billion. What he got was authorization to finish that dam. Now, the dam is actually important. I'm not going to say the dam is like Sarah Palin's bridge to nowhere. I mean, it is on the Ohio River, near where it hits the Mississippi River. That is an extremely major American, waterway.
Well, forgive my ignorance. Isn't the Hoover Dam in Nevada, and isn't Mitch McConnell a senator from Kentucky?
Oh, no, it wasn't the Hoover Dam. It was Kentucky Dam.
Oh, the Kentucky Dam.
They may be comparing it to the Hoover Dam because that was another massive federal project that actually did tremendous good for California. It's one of the reasons why there is water in Southern California today, because the Colorado River is largely diverted to Southern California. It's the reason you can drink water pretty easily, Leslie, even though there's still a water shortage in what's basically a desert of Southern California. So I think the Hoover Dam was a great federal success. It was a federal program, and I think this will be a success, too. I'm not against the dam, per se. What I'm against is the fact that Mitch McConnell got his dam, but 49 other states also have infrastructure problems they need. They also have decaying bridges.
I think Ken is confused because he sees Nevada as being Reed State. He thinks it's Hoover Dam. And it's Kentucky Dam.
It's fine. It's built in the 1930s, and most of the things built during the Depression are pretty solid pieces of work, and I don't think it needs any repairs, at least not that I know of.
There's so much to cover here. Let's see. Tommy says and tweets, if Obamacare rollout continues like the healthcare.gov rollout, of course he stands a chance. And of course he is speaking about Ted Cruz and whether or not he stands a chance in the GOP primary for 2016. Mark, I agree with you that within a few months, the glitches will be fixed. And I think the government will extend the registration period online because of the glitches. You can't say to somebody, penalize them for not signing up when they physically could not sign up, at different times, as many people were not able to. They could access the site but not actually go in and sign up. By the way, a lot of people are calling to sign up. So even in the end, the numbers are not going to be accurate because some people are calling the number.
Well, and let me make clear, there's a lot of time to sign up. One of the things the government did right was they didn't say sign up in October and it begins November 1st. It doesn't begin until January 1st, the earliest proposals, and you have until December 14th to sign up for those. And frankly, you can sign up all the way until March.
March 31st.
That begin.
But I still think they're going to extend it a month or two, especially. I mean, I would.
If people can just relax, it won't change anything in their lives if they wait till November to go to that website.
Well, what do you think? What would your prediction be with the health care plan? Do you think that, you know, most people are going to like it after a year or within the time that the president's in office, enough that the Republicans and Tea Party especially and people like Ted Cruz, I mean, by the time Ted Cruz runs, will he have any more steam from Obamacare to go on? The glitches will be fixed on the website. Millions of people will have signed up by that point and will be happy with the plan.
I think so, and interestingly, even Ted Cruz thinks so. That's the clip that I provided.
Yeah, well, actually, let's play that. Mark, thank you for providing that. Mark Levine, Mark Grimaldi, if you could play that for us, buddy, our executive producer.
If we don't do it now, in all likelihood, Obamacare will never, ever be repealed. Why is that? Because on January 1st, the exchanges kick in, the subsidies kick in, and the Obama administration has, by the way, eliminated the eligibility requirements. There's no checking on it, which means it's basically setting up liar loans. Their plan is to get the American people addicted to the sugar, addicted to the subsidies, and once that happens, in all likelihood,
it's over.
Never gets
repealed.
So we either do it now, or we surrender entirely. But the second point, which is so frustrating, but right now, in all candor, we do not have the votes to do this. We don't have the votes in the Senate. We don't have the votes in the House. And to be honest, we're not close right now.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ted Cruz believes that come in a couple years or so, it'll be too late to repeal Obamacare. And that's why he went to the mat this time.
That
quote, by the way, shocks a lot of people. I've played that on your show. I don't know.
Yeah, that's from Sean Hannity's show, which you know everybody knows I'm on every week. I am friends with Sean. I do feel that I'm going to try and help him get through the 12 steps to get out of the Republican recovery into becoming a Democrat. He knows that. I love him very much. Ted Cruz is actually admitting it would be so good because, I mean, not that crack's good for you, but if you become addicted to something, sugar may not be good for you, but oh man, does it taste good. But Obamacare will be good for the people because being insured and having preventative health care, which people just don't grasp, is good. Even last night, though, when I was debating Lars Larson, a conservative talk show host on Megyn Kelly's show, The Kelly File, he said on two separate occasions, if somebody, you know, doesn't like their insurance, if somebody likes their insurance and, you know, they're going to be for, you know, and they're forced to take Obamacare, these lies just keep, you know, continue to perpetuate. You know, it just amazes me because how many times do people understand that Obamacare is for the uninsured? And if you are insured, you know, you don't have to have it, especially if you're insured through your employer. You can't sign up for it because you already have insurance through your employer.
That's exactly right. So for 80% of Americans, it won't affect you at all because you'll either get it through your employer or you get it through the government, you know, through Medicare or something like that. So it will affect about 1 in 5, maybe 1 in 6, 1 in 5 of us. It'll affect me, frankly, and I'm looking forward to it. But for most Americans, you get it through your employer, you get it through the government, and it's no change whatsoever.
We have so many tweets on here, I can't even keep up with them. We will take a break. We'll be back with my co-host, Mark Levine. We'll be back to you right after this. Don't go away. And we're back, my co-host and partner in crime. Every Thursday, Hour 2, and the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show is none other than Mark Levine. Join us in this hour, 888-653-7543. Let's talk about more of these tweets, Mark. We have so much to talk about tonight. We could probably talk for days, actually. Hold in your LOLing, laugh out louding.
But
do you think Ted Cruz stands a chance in the GOP primary for 2016? And political rationale tweets, that's so funny. Do you think Biden has a chance in the Democratic primary? He's the foreign policy expert in this administration. Ha ha. I think he has a chance in the primary. He'll get a lot of attention, you know.
Biden's got a much greater chance than Ted Cruz, no question about it. Listen, Hillary Clinton obviously is the one to beat in the Democratic primary. But if she were to decide not to run, for example, I think Joe Biden would be right up there.
I would be happy with Joe Biden as my president. I really would.
And I think a lot of Americans would. I'm a big fan of Joe Biden.
I am too. Yeah, I have always liked him. I liked him even more after the debates. It was just like, it was just like, oh my God, you rocked. I just, you know, sometimes it's just nice when you see, you know, just a strong guy with his experience whoop the butt of somebody who's young and inexperienced spouting crap, you know.
The Biden Palin debate was one for the history books. No question about it.
Absolutely. When speaking of Biden. Will he run if Hillary runs, do you think, or do you think he'd step aside?
I don't know. I think they would probably do what most politicians do. He'd run some polls, and he would see whether he felt he had a chance. I don't know. He might. I mean, he's younger than people think he is. He's still younger than Ronald Reagan was or John McCain was when they ran for president. He might. I mean, look, I think he's going to have a tough run against Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to deny that. He may well get my vote, frankly. I may vote for him over Hillary Clinton. But,
I won't.
Listen, I know you won't. But, I'd be happy with either one of them. So, to me, it's just a... it's an embarrassment of riches.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, Mark. Okay, if Hillary Clinton were gay, and Joe Biden's not, who would you vote for?
That would not change my vote. No, I don't.
Oh, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
No,
it wouldn't.
I think we should have the best person for the job. You want to know? Listen, I wouldn't vote for someone just because she's a woman, but I'll tell you who I would like better than Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, and she is a woman, and that's Elizabeth Warren. I would vote for her.
I'd vote for her too. But I wouldn't vote for her over Hillary. I'm sorry.
I would. I think she's tougher than Hillary, and I think she's... Listen, Hillary's brilliant, but Elizabeth Warren is smarter. Hillary Clinton is tough, but Elizabeth Warren is tougher. I think she's actually a much more compelling national figure. I think she gives a better speech. Again, I think Hillary's great. I think Elizabeth Warren's even better. I'm that much of a fan.
Did you see in The New Yorker, Ted Cruz said, the dream of keeping poor people from seeing a doctor must never die? I think he should host Saturday Night Live. He's very funny.
He didn't really say that.
He did.
No way. That's hilarious. That's like a political cartoon.
It's a quote from NewYorker.com.
Are you sure it wasn't The Onion? You sure you haven't been punked? I don't know. I think that's hilarious if he did say
it. Nope, it's the NewYorker.com.
All right.
It's thenewyorker.com. He is directly quoted. And as a matter of fact, it's funny because the person who sent it to me says hilarious, true, in an onion sort of way, but it was not The Onion. It is The New Yorker.
There you go. I'm surprised he would be that honest.
Yeah. And it's so funny because he and his party want to cut, even without Obamacare, Medicaid.
Right, you know, that's right, and they were against children's health care as well. Yeah. You know, I don't know why they're so opposed to poor middle-class people getting health care. 35 other nations.
Because if they're healthy, they can vote, and they'll vote for the Democrats.
I guess. I mean, I tell you, sick people get pretty angry to get to the polls to vote, to say, you know, you voted against my health care. The other thing about the irony is that Texas will turn blue in 10, 15 years. So I don't know how long Ted Cruz has anyway.
Really? I
hate
I
to burst
Texas.
The bubble, but it wasn't a real quote. I just found it. It's by Andy Borowitz, who's a comic writer.
I knew it. I'm wrong. Good to be true.
All right. But the Washington Post does have something off the track that was sent to me, and I just wanted to share this because it's so disgusting. I have this on the brain because I want to see a movie that's come out about it. There are more slaves alive today than at any point in history. And they have a map of the breakdown of percentage throughout the world where they are. So it's sort of like, so why don't we go help these people? But I digress. So let's get back to Ted Cruz, who I don't know, might like the idea of slavery. Not sure. Ted Cruz, I do think in the next 10 or 15 years can wreak enough havoc or do enough damage, perhaps. And let's talk more about, speaking of Ted Cruz, Bob tweets, you mean the Ted Cruz who was not born on U.S. soil?
That's true.
I've been dying to ask you so that I understand, okay? Somebody asked me, and I said, you know what? This is something I don't know. And there are many things I do know, and there are a few I don't, and this is one of them. And I was going to look it up, but I knew you were going to be on. And somebody asked me this 2 days ago, I believe. And they said, Leslie, Arnold Schwarzenegger could not run for president because
That's true. He
was not born here, and everybody gave Obama grief and claimed he wasn't born here, even though he was born in Hawaii. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. Is it because his mother or one of his parents is an American citizen, or both his parents, that he automatically has citizenship even if he wasn't born here? And lastly, my understanding was you have to be born here to be president.
Well, the answer is that we really don't know. But the Constitution says you have to be a natural-born American citizen. Natural-born American citizen. It has never been determined by the United States Supreme Court, a few lower courts have ruled on it, what exactly those words mean. They could mean one of two things, and I agree they're ambiguous. They could mean, as many people think they mean, natural-born, meaning born within the United States, or maybe within the United States and its territories, though I should note that John McCain was born in Panama. Now, he argues he was born in the Panama Canal Treaty Zone, which was, I guess, a U.S. territory at the time. There's actually some dispute over that, but he wasn't, you know, thrown out. But of course, he never became president. But there is this argument that natural born does mean within the borders of the United States. There is another, though, argument that is equally well respected among constitutional scholars that says natural born means you must be born into the citizenship. You must be a citizen from the moment of birth, which would mean that even if Barack Obama were born in Kenya, he'd be a citizen from the moment of birth because his mother was an American citizen. Under that theory, Ted Cruz is a natural-born American citizen because I don't remember which of his parents is an American. But then you don't have to be born within the United States. The answer is it's never been litigated. It's never, at least never.
So
been
would it have to be? Would it have to be? Because
I think it would have to be. Sure, I think someone would challenge.
Because he was born in Calgary, Canada.
Right, he was born in Canada, but I think he is the son of at least one American parent, which under U.S. law,
his mother was born in Kansas, and right. Somebody else was born in Hawaii. It just says he.
Yeah,
I'm assuming
his
father.
The answer is it could go either way. I think most people believed and that it actually means born within the United States. But the other argument is one that you could equally argue. I've even looked up at the founder's notes on this. There's very little notes on it. One of the reasons I looked it up is because Congressman Barney Frank, who I used to work for, actually proposed a constitutional amendment to strike the words natural born and to allow people who've been naturalized, people like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jennifer Granholm, the governor of Michigan, who was born in Canada, to allow them to run for president too. After all, if you're a naturalized American citizen, and we don't think you're loyal to the United States, you know, we can vote you down. So
right, I have to say, having two children, one of which is adopted, if my son wants to run for office someday, even though he was not born in the United States, he was born in Pakistan, he is a natural-born citizen because adopted children are considered legally the same in the United States as a biological child, which is he's an American citizen because my husband and I are. We'll be back, hour three straight ahead with my co-host Mark Levine. Don't miss it. Hey there, America. I'm not here to set you free alone. I'm Leslie Marshall. And tonight, the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show extends into hour three, because every hour two, every Thursday, my co-host in the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show airs on your radios, on our stream, leslie marshall show.com/stream, on TuneIn, on the Progressive Voices Network, and on the American Armed Forces Radio Network. My partner in crime and my co-host in this hour and every Thursday, hour two, and now hour three tonight, is Mark Levine. More than a pleasure to have you with us tonight. And of course, Mark, more than a pleasure to have you with me, because I just love talking with you. Tell you a bit about Mark, although most of you know him and he doesn't need an introduction. He's a good friend personally and professionally of mine, a good friend of this program, and those who listen to the program learn a lot from him, enjoy when he sits in for me, and enjoy when he co-hosts with me every Thursday, hour two, and sometimes hour three, like we're doing tonight. Mark's a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committee. He currently hosts the Washington, D.C.-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, of which this hour here on the program and last is named, and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM as well. He appears on television often, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and and CNBC. He's tangled with Bill O'Reilly on the right and Pacifica, co-host of his on the left as well, and me on the left as well. In this hour, you can join us by calling us at 888-653-7543. You can tweet us. Follow me on Twitter at Leslie Marshall. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. MarkLevineTalk.com is his website. If you want to send an email, he'll share that. And if you want to send an email to me, which I can share, go to LeslieMarshallShow.com, click on Contact. Facebook, like his fan page, Facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, and like mine, Facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow. Facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow. We will share your Facebook messages as well. Now that
and
I
if I could do a little plug, on my website, MarkLevineTalk.com, if you click on schedule, you'll find out when I'm on, you'll find out when I'm subbing for Leslie, you'll find out when I'm on Fox, like I'm on this Sunday, I'm on next Saturday. All of that's on my website, including an article I wrote, an op-ed about what would happen if we actually did default. Called The Day America Defaulted, that a lot of people have been wondering what would happen. So that's my alternative history that I posted on my website there.
Awesome. Thank you. And that, again, is MarkLevineTalk.com. Let's talk about the government shutdowns, winners and losers. And we'll share some tweets a little bit later. And if you want to call us just the final hour with Mark and I tonight this week on this issue, 888-653-7543. The partial government shutdown and debt ceiling crisis shook not only Washington, but our country. And after a deal was reached to end the shutdown, there are certainly people, lawmakers, that came out on top, but there are some that did not. And despite this deal, Congress may be back in the same position as we know a few months from now, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this hour. So the government is open, the debt limit is lifted, and the fight is over temporarily. In every fight, there are winners and losers, and we're going to talk about those tonight. This fight's no exception. There's Senator Ted Cruz is one. There's Hillary Clinton. Some people would say her silence helped her. And let's look at winners and losers. Mark, President Obama, a winner in this one or a loser? Or
A clear winner. I mean, he made a mistake in 2011. He actually did compromise with them when they were threatening, the equivalent of economic Armageddon. I believe you, Leslie, and many, many liberals condemned him or at least criticized him for that. I actually did it on the O'Reilly Show, and I said he didn't have to cave. And O'Reilly said, of course he had to cave. It was the debt ceiling. Well, I think I showed, and I like Bill O'Reilly, but I think I showed him that this time, 2 years later, he didn't have to cave. He didn't cave. And lo and behold, he said, look, I'm more than willing to negotiate with you Republicans, but not with a gun to my head. It's got to be, a fair negotiation where we're not, the government shutdown is not part of it. Economic Armageddon is not part of it. It's simply a question of what you want and what I want, give and take, normal negotiation. And I think that will be the negotiation of the future. I don't think the Republicans dare try this again. We'll see, January, February. If they do try it again, they'll be even worse off. But I don't think they will.
When we look at the president in refusing to negotiate, I didn't feel he was refusing to negotiate. I felt he was refusing to negotiate over Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act that was signed into law. The Supreme Court held up the mandate as being constitutional. That was an area he wasn't going to negotiate. He constantly said, I'm more than willing to discuss. What did he say? I'm open to any good idea. The problem was there were no good ideas. And from the beginning, the president did refuse to negotiate. But I feel it was more specifically regarding Obamacare. He held firm. Nothing significant was changed to his health care law. So he certainly won there. And according to public opinion polls, Mark, I agree with you, even without the polls, but the president is receiving the least amount of blame for the dysfunction in Washington. Congress is receiving more, Democrats in Congress more than the president, and Republicans overwhelmingly more than both Democrats in the House and Senate and the president. Right?
Well, there's nothing to say. You're right.
Okay. John Boehner, winner or loser?
Oh, God. John Boehner's been a loser ever since he took over as Speaker of the House. Look, here's Boehner. Boehner is, I would argue, structurally a loser. I don't think anyone could be in that role and win. I don't know, maybe so. I mean, Tom DeLay, back when I was in Congress 10 years ago, when I was working there, Tom DeLay did rule with an iron fist, and all the Republicans did what he had to say, and if they didn't do it, he would punish them severely, and he was that kind of leader. Clearly, Boehner is not. I think this was all a kabuki theater. I think we all knew Boehner was going to fall. fold. And I think Boehner knew Boehner was going to fold. Boehner was against this strategy from the beginning, but he knew that he had to cause mass economic havoc. He had to cost $24 billion to the economy. He had to shut the government down for 16 days, if only to prove to his caucus that he was trying, even though he knew he couldn't succeed. So to save his job, he's really the one that cost us all this, because Boehner could have called a vote 3 weeks ago, and he would have undergone none of this stuff. So, yeah, he's a real loser. Real loser.
Let's take some calls, and let's start out in Fort Worth, Texas with Adam. Adam, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Question or comment for Mark Levine, my co-host, or I, Leslie Marshall, in this hour tonight.
Hi, Leslie.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Oh, not so bad. I saw on Twitter you were talking about Ted Cruz's chances in the Republican primary, and I got to tell you, you'll never go broke underestimating the sanity of Republican primary voters. these are a group of people who in 2012 found a glimmer of hope in Rick Santorum when they were arguably less foaming at the mouth and sane. And I don't think you could write off a guy as foaming at the mouth crazy as Ted Cruz now either.
Well, you know, at one point, Herman Cain was leading it, the process. They've certainly had their share. Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, I believe, was ahead in the polls for a limited amount of time. The Republican Party has moved so far to the right that there's nowhere else to go. And that's the problem. I mean, even, you know, when John McCain starts looking reasonable and when Mitch McConnell starts looking reasonable, you know they've gone really, really far to the right. And unless they come home, they're going to lose a lot of elections.
Adam?
Oh, yeah. When Mitch McConnell looks reasonable, I think Michelle Bachmann's right. We are in the end times.
That's probably true.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was good talking to you.
You too, Adam. Have a great night, sweetie. Thanks for giving us a buzz. Let's go to Reggie in Decatur, Georgia. Reggie, good evening. How you doing? What do you have to say on this, buddy?
Well, all I have to say is that Ted Cruz doesn't give a tinker's damn or rat's ass about anybody but himself and the Republican Party, or the GOP, if you will. Just like he didn't give a tinker's damn or rat's ass about those war veterans. Remember I talked to you about that 2 days ago with him and Sarah Palin?
Yes, I do. I do remember.
And, you know, they were down there posing for political pictures for the camera with the war vets. And if any of them had any sense, it was to throw them out of the, shall we say, out of the protest a long time ago. And somebody called her an idiot once when she was there, remember?
Yes.
And, they would have thrown her out of there and had some real politicians who actually served over there and served in war, like John McCain and anybody else, or even John Kerry. You know, real politicians who were real war veterans themselves also. Not phony politicians who never served a day within their entire single solitary entire lives, right?
I'll tell you, Reggie, I don't think Ted Cruz cares too much for the Republican Party. I mean, wiser heads in the Republican Party told him not to do this in no uncertain terms. Mitch McConnell said, don't do this. John Boehner said, don't do this. So, and he did great damage to his own party. So it's not just that Ted Cruz doesn't care about poor people who need health care. He doesn't care about the Republican Party either. Ted Cruz cares about Ted Cruz. And I actually think Ted Cruz helped Ted Cruz, even as he harmed his party. He harmed the Tea Party, or the Republican Party, and he definitely harmed the country. But I think he did help himself.
Right. Well, if they were any smarter or wiser, they would have thrown him out of the Republican Party a long, long time ago, right?
Well, that's what's so interesting about this. What's interesting is not that there's a crazy person named Ted Cruz that wants to do crazy things. Both parties, frankly, have crazy people in them. Michelle Bachmann, there's a whole bunch of crazy Republicans, definitely, and we have our share, too. I won't name them on the air. The difference is that the Democratic Party doesn't follow their crazy people off a cliff. The Republican
right.
Party does follow their crazy people off the cliff, and that's why Boehner is such a lousy leader, because he's a follower. The irony is, people used to say Obama was always leading from behind. I can't think of anyone that leads from behind more than the Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
I would agree with you there. I cannot believe the hypocrisy in the Republicans calling the president a bad leader when John Boehner exemplifies that.
Well, why don't John Boehner just tell the Tea Party to, quote, get lost, take a hike? I can be fine without you.
Well, you know, I think he should, and I think a stronger leader would, but you got to look at that Republican vote, right? 144 voted no, 87 voted yes. A majority of Republicans in the House said no deal. Well, it's a majority of Republicans in the House that choose the Speaker of the House, and if the Republicans maintain the House come January 2015, as they still are probably likely to do, then he needs a majority of their votes. So he's obviously trolling for his job much more than he cares about his country.
Right, and I hope that they find a longer-term solution for the debt ceiling before January, or we're all going to be screwed.
Well, I don't think they dare do this again, but if they do, then it'll hurt them even more in 2014. So the way I see it, it's a win-win. Either they won't do it, and that's a win for the country, or they will do it, and it's a win for the Democratic Party.
Right. I just hope that this never happens again, because we nearly defaulted last night, right? We nearly defaulted, but we were saved at the last minute by cooler heads, I guess, cooler, more intelligent heads, you know, or rational, reasonable heads prevailed, right, at the last minute of the last hour of last night, right?
That's true.
But we didn't, right?
No, we did not default. At the last minute, it was stopped. That's correct. But the brinksmanship did do harm to the American economy that we can never get back.
I hope we can do that. I hope this never, ever happens again, because if it does, we're all going to get screwed. They'll become screwed big time. And I wish that...
I don't know if you saw President Obama today on TV about 11:30. I think he's very eloquent about the dangers of this brinksmanship and the cost of this brinksmanship. And listen, it was that got the American people so angry. Obamacare is yet to be proven. I mean, Leslie and I are fans, but it's just starting out. And Americans are about 50-50 on it, because we really don't know how it's going to work yet. But what they are much more than 50-50 on, they're probably 70-30 or 75-25 on, is you don't shut down the government and threaten to fall in the national debt if you don't get your way. I think most Americans, including Republicans, saw the Tea Party people, the Ted Cruz people, as just crybabies here.
Right, and I think that John Boehner should lose his political leadership and be succeeded by somebody else with a cooler, rational, reasonable head and intellectual mindset.
That I'll tell you, Reggie, there's some that like think if John Boehner lost his job, we'd get someone worse. Someone who's willing to take us off the cliff. So I don't really mind John Boehner. He's a weak Republican leader, and as a Democrat, if they want a weak Republican leader, you know, good for them.
Yeah, more for us, too, right?
Exactly.
So, more for us. It'll make them some people, because without us, they're nothing. You know what I'm saying?
All right, thank you, Reggie. Appreciate the call. Quick break. We'll be back to him. We'll be back to you and my co-host, Mark Levine, right after this. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall, back with my co-host, Mark Levine, on this Thursday night in the Inside Scoop edition of The Leslie Marshall Show. We're talking about John Boehner, winner or loser. Mark said loser, and I agree. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back, and everybody else. And thank you, Reggie, for your call. We let Reggie go. John Boehner, some people say he has one of the least wanted jobs in the nation. I mean, what came down here, Mark, is he tried to appease House conservatives by demanding the president's health care law be defunded. And really, all he got in return was the government shutdown, and now the country largely blames him at the top of the heap of Republicans. Why did John Boehner want to and try to appeal to the minority of his majority in the House?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's because the Republican majority fears that Republican minority, and particularly in the House. And the reason they fear them in the House is because of the gerrymandered districts. Because those districts are Republican districts, they really have very little to fear from Democrats. They have much more to fear from being primaried from the right. And if there had been a secret vote, anonymous Republican House member told, I forget who it was, in the Washington Post, that if it had been an anonymous vote, they would have 200 of the 230 Republicans vote to pass this thing. But it's not an anonymous vote. They do fear their right. And what's interesting is Mitch McConnell doesn't fear his right. He fears the Democrat, who's very strong, Alison Graham. She may well beat him in November. And because he fears the Democrat, he moved to the center and he passed this bill. But most of that House fears the Republicans on the right because of the way districts are drawn.
Let's talk about the negotiation John Boehner was unable to usher negotiations through the finish line with the president. But the president, unlike Clinton, unlike Reagan, didn't work with him. I was glad the president stood his ground. But are they, in a sense, losers in the game of negotiation for getting something done? Because for 16 days, we did get hurt a lot, not just financially, but in reputation with the world as a nation having a government shutdown and coming so close to going into default.
Well, I think that hopefully the 16 days will be a lesson. I mean, really, time will tell. I'd much be able to be better to answer that question come January, come February. I mean, I fear they're not going to come to a budget resolution in December. I fear the Republicans won't budge. They're already talking like that. And if so, we may have a government shutdown yet again in January. But if it happens again, I think the American people will even more quickly blame the Republicans and will get over it more quickly. So time will tell to see if it matters. I do think Obama's willing to negotiate. He's just not willing to negotiate with a gun to his head.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with my partner in crime and my co-host here on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. When we come back, we'll talk more about winners and losers, and we will talk more about this temporary stopgap measure and what happens when we go forward, what happens with that, what happens. We touched upon what happens with Obamacare, many other things to talk about in the second half of this hour and the last half hour of the program tonight. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. Only true democracy in talk radio of for and by you, the people. Live on the radio nationwide, streaming live throughout the world on the World Wide Web, LeslieMarshallShow.com. We also have Mark Levine, my co-host here, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk, me at Leslie Marshall. Facebook for him is Facebook.com/Mark Levine Talk, and his website, MarkLevineTalk.com. Mark, thanks for holding, as always, my co-host here every Thursday on the Inside Scoop edition of the show, and we're talking about winners and losers. We touched upon Ted Cruz. I think that it could be argued he's a bit of both, because like you said, you know, his goal in this was, you know, all about him, and he came out, well, at least with the people he was trying to please, and like you said, this is a guy who's not been in office that long, and everyone knows his name now.
That's true. Listen, it's very hard. When you're that low in the polls and you have that little self-respect, I guess the word is. They say in Hollywood sometimes that any publicity is good publicity. Well, I don't know, Lindsay Lohan, Ted Cruz. I can think of other examples.
Yeah, most definitely. The 21-hour talkathon got his name out there on the Senate floor before the shutdown began.
It wasn't even a real filibuster. I mean, at least Rand Paul had a real filibuster. You know, he's a fake, but he's a fake that fools a lot of people. He's having his 15 minutes of fame. He's doing the Sarah Palin, and I'm sure he will go where she went to, which is nowhere.
When she was right by his side, I guess, hoping for that VP, slot on the ticket. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Let's talk about what kind of impact, if any, on getting rid of Obamacare he made. How is it viewed by the majority of Americans, do you think? And then how is it viewed, obviously, within his own ilk, the Tea Publicans?
Well, we know that actually more Americans support the Affordable Care Act after this fiasco than before, something like 7%, which is significant. If he had not done what he'd done, I'm confident that the really lousy rollout of healthcare.gov would have harmed it. I mean, the Affordable Care Act had maybe 44%, something like that, support in America. It might have gone down to the 30s. Now it's over 50. So he actually harmed his cause if he wanted people not to like the Affordable Care Act. He acted in reverse. For his ilk, well, he's part of the apocalyptic wing of the Republican Party. You can call it the Lenin swing or the McCarthyist wing. It's the anarchy wing. They're the wing that wants to burn it all down. And so for them, I guess he did well. I'm sure they're very proud of him.
Yeah, most definitely. I want to talk about Cruz a little bit more, and then I do want to talk about the Tea Party a bit. Conservatives got really excited with him. Do you think this hurt his standing among his colleagues in the Senate?
Oh, absolutely. I think they absolutely see him as a show horse. I don't think they respected him from the get-go, and I think they respect him even less now. Frankly, it's surprising McConnell let him get as far as he did, but really he didn't do much. I mean, all he did, he wasn't even a real filibuster, as we know. Anyone could speak on the floor. He spoke, and it was the House Republicans that followed him, not the Senate Republicans. I mean, other than Rand Paul, who frankly is smarter than Ted Cruz and more politically wise than Ted Cruz, and in that sense more dangerous than Ted Cruz, because, you know, Rand Paul actually could get a significant following from, you know, thinking people. But I don't think he has any respect by his colleagues, except for those that are really living in this dream world where they, I guess, only hear from people who agree with them.
When we look at what he did, if he wants to be an effective senator, he's blown that out of the water completely.
Yeah, no, he has no chance of that.
Right, and then running for the Republican nomination in 2016, what he's done, really, the only thing that has helped him to run for 2016 is solidified his most conservative wing of the GOP base, right? I mean, he easily won the straw poll at the Values Voter Summit, right?
Right. That's a big wing, and it's a wing that others want to get. It's a wing that Rand Paul, for example, wants to get, who I also think is running for president. And then you're going to have people like Chris Christie and Marco Rubio split the, I don't know. Rubio smartly stayed out of a lot of this, even though he sometimes calls himself Tea Party. He actually smartly plays to both sides, both the establishment Republicans and to the Tea Party, which is why he's a formidable force, and if I had to pick him a nominee right now, I would pick him as the Republican nominee. But there is going to be a conservative wing. You saw in the race in 2012, Bachman fought Santorum, fought Herman Cain, fought Rick Perry. Everyone was trying to get that conservative, and they each had their moment in the sun, and Romney won largely because, well, they were fighting amongst themselves. So Ted Cruz's goal is to unite the radical wing of the Republican Party behind him. And like I said, as a Democrat, I can't think of anyone I'd rather see get the nomination than Ted Cruz. But I don't think the Republicans are that stupid. I really don't.
When we look at, winners and losers, what about Ryan? I mean, he did change the tenor of the debate. He opened the negotiating door with the president. And some would say that it was he that effectively brought House Republicans closer to a unified position over Boehner and other Republicans. And if anything, conservative activists were not pleased with him.
I think Paul Ryan, again, from a Democratic perspective, is far more dangerous than Ted Cruz. I think he's smart. I think Ted Cruz is seen as a clown, and Paul Ryan is seen as serious. I don't like Paul Ryan's views. I've never liked his views, but he doesn't make a fool of himself. He presents well. He expresses his views, which are truly, Ayn Randian horror for anyone who needs Social Security or Medicare and so forth, but he doesn't express it that way. He expresses it in a very reasonable way, and therefore, like I said, I think he's far more dangerous than a clown like Ted Cruz.
Yeah, most definitely. Let's talk about why does my computer do this every time I go back to this? Let's talk about Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. I think I think Harry Reid was clearly a winner. I mean,
oh, absolutely. And I actually think McConnell was a winner as well.
I think McConnell was a winner to Democrats, but I think he was a loser to Republicans because, quite frankly, he may have hurt his standing with the Tea Party. They've been skeptical of him and really now more so and have been for a long time. And he has a really tough reelection bid in the state of Kentucky. The primary challenger is billing himself as a true conservative, and he's not viewed as a true conservative because he actually worked with Democrats.
Well, that's true, but if you look at the polls, you'll find that actually McConnell is way ahead of his primary challenger, and he's neck and neck with the Democrat. People think of Kentucky as a very red state, and, lately it has been, but people forget that Kentucky, I'm pretty sure, voted for Bill Clinton, so it's not a permanently red state, and it is a state that Allison Grimes is a very strong candidate. She has a family that's been, she won
entrenched
a
in
race.
That state, yeah.
As Secretary of State, and I think the answer, if you want to know where McConnell's looking, he fears the Democrat more than he fears his primary challenger, precisely because of how he acted in this circumstance. And the Tea Party challenger, I forget his name, but he's got some other ethical issues, I think. He's got some things that already make him not a very strong candidate. If he had a stronger Tea Party candidate against him, he might not have acted the way he did. And also, let's not forget, he brought home $3 billion for the Kentucky Dam. I mean, you know, McConnell did get some pork home for his state. So, you know, that gives him some hometown. Some people will love that in Kentucky. Some
gives him some street, some Kentucky red street cred, right? Let's talk about why Harry Reid clearly was a winner that we both agree. I mean, this guy, even more so than the president, didn't blink. I mean, he engaged in high-stakes negotiations. He refused to accept a deal that would cut the government spending. He refused to accept any deal that would dissect Obamacare. And the negotiations, you know, some might say took place more on his terms than the president's.
I'm a big fan of Harry Reid. I consider Harry Reid to be the antithesis of Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz speaks loudly and carries a small stick. He talks a lot, and he can accomplish nothing. Harry Reid is kind of a quiet guy. If you've ever heard him on the floor, he's not exactly a strong personality. But, oh boy, behind the scenes, is he powerful. This is, don't underestimate Harry Reid. It's easy to do because he's got sort of a, you know, a very calm demeanor. But sometimes the loud guys are not the ones that succeed. And Harry Reid, I would argue, is the biggest winner of them all, even more so than President Obama, who's also clearly a winner here.
No question at all. You know, when Republicans really hate somebody as much as they hate Harry Reid, you know he's winning, right? Let's talk about the Tea Party, the Republicans, and the Democrats. I think the Democrats came out a winner here because they were, and I was so proud of them in the House being so united. And it's about time that they were united, and the Republicans were just so fractured.
You know, Leslie, I'm on Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C., and Pacifica is liberal to leftist. It's actually left of where I normally am. I think of myself as sort of a liberal middle-of-the-road, or I'm sort of in the middle of the Democratic Party, and I think a lot of people in Pacifica are to the left of the Democratic Party. I remember arguing with many people who would call in my show and say that they want to vote for Ralph Nader, or they want to support the Green Party, or the Democrats are sellouts, the corporations, and so forth, and I said, look, if you want to fight within a Democratic Party, by all means, have primaries and so forth, that's fine. But if you support the Greens, if you support Ralph Nader, you're helping the Republicans. You're harming the Democrats.
I know.
Divide and
conquer. Remember when Bill Maher got on his knees on his show and begged Ralph Nader not to run?
Right. So the point is that I argue this till I'm blue in the face, and some people on the left never got it, but now we can see what happens when the Republican Party is divided. When the Republican Party is fighting with the Tea Party, it's like the Democrats fighting with the Green Party. It hurts them, and it helps us. And so I hope those to my left will recognize, I don't like everything the Democratic Party does either. But, you know, as Will Rogers once famously said, I'm not a member of any organized party, I'm a Democrat. Well, today, our party is a lot more organized than the Republican Party, and if we stick together, we can actually accomplish more progressive goals. So
it's,
the answer
it's refreshing.
Is work within the party, don't try to destroy it, and look what happens when Republicans destroy themselves, and maybe you can see why we shouldn't harm the Democratic Party.
CNN had a poll, though, that showed Democrats didn't come out scot-free. 57% of respondents angry at Democrats for the way they were handling the shutdown.
You know, I mean, people are angry at everyone. You got to remember, very few people are the kind of political junkies that you and I are. I mean, I live in Washington, D.C., so I'm surrounded by political junkies. You live in L.A., Leslie, so a lot of people in Los Angeles, I mean, I remember Jimmy Kimmel was on Hollywood Boulevard asking people whether they preferred Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, which, of course, are exactly the same thing. And they said, oh, we prefer the Affordable Care Act. Obamacare is terrible. So, you know, I just have
and that's
to
what the
that
polls show, right? The polls show that was in the wording. If we said the Affordable Care Act, it'd be a whole different outcome. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about winners and losers more and other things. The Tea Party will be next on the opinion block with my co-host Mark Levine and I, Leslie Marshall, back after this. And we're back. My co-host is Mark Levine. I'm Leslie Marshall. Good evening and welcome back to the only true democracy in talk radio, talking about winners and losers after this 16-day farce that you were watching America called a government shutdown and coming close to defaulting on our debt. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. We were talking about winners and losers. We talked about Democrats and Democrats. Let's talk about the Tea Party. I think they came out a loser.
I think they did too. I think the Tea Party's time in the sun is done. The Occupy movement, sort of our movement on the left, it's kind of done too, which saddens me. But I think the Tea Party has sort of outlived its historical moment. Really, it's just serving to, you know, divide and destroy the Republican Party, and as such, you know, I wish it well. But I do think that most Republicans, at least in the leadership, recognize the Tea Party is much more of a bane to their existence than a boon to their prospects.
I saw today, yet some of the Tea Party are saying that they were victorious in this, and I don't understand. Their demands led to the shutdown of the government. They didn't even get any of their demands. The final deal did not touch on the health care law. And public opinion of the Tea Party continues to fall even more so since this. And like we both have said, Obamacare had a 8% spike from September to October in support of it.
The Tea Party's in a real bind here because they have two directions to go. They can either try to stop the government again in January, in which case they'll lose another half of their support. Really, the Tea Party, remember, at one time had 30-something percent support of America. Now it's down to 20-something percent, and I think it can go down to the teens. So either they stop the government again, get nothing again, and get people really angry at them, or they don't stop the government, and then the true believers in the Tea Party will get angry at them, saying, you deserted us too, and then they'll have a party even to the right of the Tea Party. So I think the Tea Party is stuck between a rock and a hard place right now.
Establishment Republicans, winner or loser? I say loser.
Well, they are a loser, but they may be a winner in the future if they can basically cause the Tea Party to be seen as not who they are. The problem is that with the 144 votes of the Republicans in the House, that's hard to do. I think Senate Republicans may turn out okay from this, and it may be that, look, the 87 Republicans that voted with the Democrats are the ones that are more in the swing districts. I mean, Peter King may have done himself very well because he's a Republican, and he called them out from the beginning. And yet Peter King is a seat in, I believe it's Long Island, which is actually a Democrats could win. So you can understand why he was so outspoken. But even Peter King, and I think he's much more reasonable than most Republicans, people need to realize that by him being a Republican, by him voting for Boehner as Speaker, that means that this can still happen again. And unless Peter King is willing to vote for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker, he still is part of the problem.
Very true, and very fractured. The Republican even, more fractured, impossible for them to be unified. They're taking most of the blame. 63 respondents of the CNN poll said they were angry at Republicans for the way they had handled the shutdown, and, we've seen those numbers even higher. Let's look to some people who weren't as involved in this, but that people are definitely going to hear the names of. Three people that might run for president in 2016, Chris Christie, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden. Was Christie a winner of all of this? I mean, he was vocal.
He stayed away. Because he stayed away, and I believe he even made a comment at one point about, all of Congress being crazy or something.
He said, quote, if I was in the Senate right now, I'd kill myself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that was the quote. That's exactly what I was referring to. I don't think anyone ever lost popularity in America by condemning Congress. I think it's a pretty safe bet. Anytime you attack Congress, that's going to be a popular statement. So, Chris Christie did very well in this by staying far, far away.
Hillary Clinton, the same thing, right? Her silence made her.
Yes, though less so, because I think that because the Democrats succeeded and the Republicans failed, Christie did well by staying completely away from the Republicans. And I think had Hillary given some voice of support, there are going to be some that say, well, where were you, Hillary? Why weren't you giving that support? So,
but I saw her. I don't know where she was speaking. I saw her on TV, and it was just a clip. And she talked about the irresponsibility of shutting down the government and of pushing us to the brink.
Just
a sentence. She said it and then she went on to whatever she was speaking for at that particular function.
Okay. I think she does well, but Christie will do much better because as a Republican staying away, it's seen as much more courageous than a Democrat basically being relatively quiet.
Some people say that Biden was a loser because he was not near the negotiating table and that in his position as vice president, it's a different story, obviously, than Clinton or Christie.
No, but I think there's some truth to that, and I like Joe Biden, so it's not personal here, but Joe Biden was part of the negotiations in 2011. They gave us a deal that, frankly, a lot of Democrats, including me, weren't that fond of. So Harry Reid did show himself to be a stronger negotiator than Joe Biden. Now, there were differences. Obviously, Obama was willing to negotiate in 2011, and he wasn't willing to negotiate in 2013 for the easy reason that Obama needed re-election a year after 2011, and he doesn't need it now. So you could argue that Biden was historically placed in a more difficult position than Harry Reid, and I agree. But nonetheless, if you look at it superficially, Reid got a better deal than Biden, and that makes Biden look weaker. It does.
I think a big winner in this was Senator Susan Collins. She didn't wait for her party, and she went and started talking to people on both sides of the aisle. Of course, it takes a chick.
Well, she did, Leslie, but remember, her proposal was shut down.
Right,
the
but
Democrats,
she
to their credit, she tried, but she wanted to get rid of this medical devices tax. Here's the thing. The Democrats are very clear that when they set up Affordable Care Act, they didn't want people to complain, oh, this is going to add to the deficit. So they made sure that it would get more funding than it would cost. And one of those things is this medical device tax. And medical device manufacturers make a tremendous amount of money. Frankly, their rates for their products will go up way, way higher than inflation. They're one of the reasons why our health care is so expensive right now. They can definitely afford the tax. And so Republicans wanted to get rid of the tax, but they didn't want a way to replace it. And so then they're going to say, aha, Obamacare, that raised the deficit.
And you know what? We are out of time, love. You and I could talk all night. Mark Levine's my co-host and partner in crime. Check him out on his website, marklevinetalk.com. Thank you, buddy. Have a great night, America, and go Sox.